Talked about last week was these 3x5 cards we passed out. Remember that? And we filled out these cards, wrote prayers down on them, and Pastor Jeff asked us to do that so that we could put those right in the blocks in the foundation of our new building, because prayer is so foundational to the church. It's foundational to our marriages, our families, to our country, to our personal lives. And what an awesome symbolic way to just embed prayers right in the foundation of our church. So Pastor Josh and I made a little video of getting those prayer cards into the foundation. We thought you might like to see that this morning as we get going with our message. Privilege to be able to carry those prayers that you guys wrote and put them right there in the foundation for, you know, who knows how long that building will last, right? But awesome to know what's written in there. Your guys' hearts are in there forever as a memorial before the Lord. So we're going to go to our sermon today, looking at building a house of prayer. We're going to direct your attention to this little diagram. It should be in your sermon notes, in your bulletin. We thought it might be helpful as we go through the different weeks. Remember last week, Jeff talked about this floor plan of a house in the Bible times, in the Mediterranean times, the region rather, and how they have that central courtyard, and there's the rooms around the outside walls. And so we're just going to go in the weeks to come and fill in these different rooms. And the room today, you'll notice, is filled in. It's called the family room. That's because we're looking at the very first words of the Lord's Prayer, which is simply, "Our Father." So that's going to be our theme that we're going to look at this morning. Notice, however you're going to start the prayer, that's going to color everything that comes after it. If you start off with "our judge," you're going to be kind of like scared the whole time you're praying. If you start off with, you know, "our king," you might be like intimidated and whatever the whole time you're praying. If you start off with "our buddy," then you might be a little too cocky when you're praying. "Hey there, buddy." You know, "our Father," that sets the tone for the whole thing. If you get this part right, the whole rest of the prayer works. If you get this thing set in your hearts, your prayer life works. I got a great quote for you about that. This book that we're getting some of our ideas for this series, called Building Your Personal House of Prayer, Larry Kreider writes, if we are to have a healthy prayer life, we must be certain of our Father's love for us. I need to read that again. I need to really hear this. This is key. If we are to have a healthy prayer life, we must be certain of our Father's love for us. Amen. Now, I'm the poster child for this statement right here because you know, I was saved. I said the salvation prayer when I was about 9 years old, but I didn't really know what to do with it. Nobody like walked me through and told me what to do next, so I kind of just went about the 9-year-old's lifestyle, you know, for the next few years, just doing normal stuff, playing Nerf football, riding my bike around town, whatever, buying candy, you know, playing baseball, whatever kids do. I didn't know what to do next as far as my relationship with God. When I was 12, I had a traumatic experience that literally drove me to my knees. And for about a year, when I was in seventh grade, I prayed. Every morning I woke up around 5. I prayed until I had to go to school, basically. I got home from school, basically went to my room and prayed until dinner time. After dinner time, went back to my room, prayed until night. I did that for like a whole stinking year. It was horrible. It's horrible. The reason I did that is because that experience, that traumatic experience I had had, it colored my view of life in such a way that I was like, if God's trying to get my attention by sending bad things my way, it's warped. But this is how we think a lot of times. If God's trying to get my attention by this tragedy that happened in my life, then I better give him some attention, you know. Okay, God, you know, I'm on my knees. What do you want from me? Basically, is the tone of the whole thing. It wasn't like this quote. It wasn't that certainty of the Father's love was not the foundation of my prayer life. Uncertainty of the Father's love was my foundation of my prayer life. The thing that drove me to pray was, "Do you love me? Are you going to cause more pain in my life, or do you really love me? Have I earned your love yet? Have I prayed enough yet?" That's what was going on. And after about a year of that, I got sick of it, and I basically just abandoned it. And all through high school, I felt a lot better because I didn't have to do that anymore. But eventually, I, over the years, have learned to start with a foundation of his love for me. And that, you know, otherwise, who wants to pray? Who wants to go pray? But if you know your Father and you love him and you know he loves you and you want to spend time with him, I mean, that's your motivation. You're going to want to pray. Amen. So if you don't really like prayer, it's probably because you don't have a certainty of the Father's love. I think that's a pretty safe statement. If you don't like prayer, you don't know the Father loves you. Because if you know the Father loves you, you're going to love to pray. You're going to love to spend time with Him. Very foundational statement. Even as prayer is foundational, you know, in the church, in our lives, in the family, in the nation, prayer, the foundation of prayer itself really needs to be relationship with the Father. So I thought that was a great quote. Now we're going to look for a little bit this morning at Jesus. Jesus had a great prayer life because He had a great relationship with His Heavenly Father. We're just going to look at a few examples of that. There's lots of them, but just a quick overview of some of the things Jesus says about His relationship with His Father. In John 17, 24, "Father, You loved Me before the creation of the world." That's something that we can't fathom. I mean, maybe to put it in our human terms a little bit, you could start to think, "Father, You loved me before I was even born." If you say that about yourself and try to imagine that the Heavenly Father really did love you before you were even born, maybe that starts to get you a little bit towards what Jesus was saying. He had an eternity relationship with the Father that was so foundationally strong. He knew for all eternity, He knew the Father loved Him. So He just knew it, and that was the foundation of everything He said and did from there on out. When He came to the world, He was willing to come to the world because He knew the Father loved Him. He knew the Father was sending Him. He totally had this awesome trust of the Father. "Sure, I'll do it. Whatever the Father wants is good, so I'm going to do it because He's a great Father." So He just had this amazing relationship, total trust. And first recorded words of Jesus when He was age 12, "Why were you searching for Me?" He asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in My Father's house?" Luke 2:49. These words recorded when the family took a trip to Jerusalem and he got to spend some time in the temple, and his parents lost track of him and couldn't find him all over the city going frantic. "Didn't you know I had to be in My Father's house?" First recorded words of Jesus were about His Father. "Isn't Mary your mom and Joseph your dad?" "Well, yeah, but I have to be in My Father's house." This is a relationship that went from all eternity, that bears more weight in His heart than the mere earthly parents, you know, although He does submit to them and goes home with them, although He'd rather stay there in the temple, in His Father's house. So that tells us a lot right from the get-go. His very first words recorded were about the Father. We have also just the whole pattern of how He lived His life. Says in John 5:19, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He can do only what He sees His Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." Maybe you've heard this before, but if you really think about this, this is just an amazing statement. Everything Jesus did, He did because He saw the Father doing it. Think about that. You know, Zacchaeus up in the tree. "Father, what's going on with this guy up there in the tree?" "Oh, you want me to go to his house for lunch? Okay." He's got this tight thing with his father. "Okay, the Father wants me to come to lunch with you, Zacchaeus." Think about that. Every time He touched a blind man and gave him sight. Every time He raised up a lame man and had him walk. Every time He sat with sinners and ate with them and ate with the outcasts and the people that no one wanted to be with, it was because the Father said, "Hang out with that person. Talk to that person. Listen to that person. Touch that person. Heal that person. Hold this child. Bless this child." That's the Father's heart. Everything he told Him to do. "Okay, Father, I'll do that." That's the kind of relationship. Everything He did, the Father was doing. You can start to get an idea of what kind of Father we have. Whoops, I think I went too there. The other thing about Jesus, He says, "I did not speak on My own, but the Father who sent Me commanded Me to say all that I have spoken." anything that Jesus ever said, that was the Father's words. So if you want to know what kind of Father we have, what kind of words he would say to you, think of the things Jesus said, like, go and sin no more. I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. Or any words that he said, any of the parables he told. How about the one about the father who waits for his son to come home and runs and embraces him? No matter what that son did, he's forgiven. He's taken back into the home. He's given a feast. I mean, all that story was the father's story. The father wrote that one. Father wanted us to know that story. Father told Jesus, tell him that story. Tell him that story about the Father. So this is the kind of Father we serve, and that's the kind of relationship Jesus had with him. Everything he said and did was from the Father. This is why he can say in John 14:7, if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. Amen. We're a lot more comfortable knowing Jesus. Jesus came to earth, walked in our shoes, so to speak, bore our sins on the cross. We love him. It's so easy to love him for what he's done for us. So easy to relate to him. He cried. He ate. He was hungry. He drank. He was thirsty. You know, he was tired. He slept. You know, he sweat. All this earthly stuff. He understands. He worked hard. He trained as a carpenter for years and years. He understands us. We get him. But the Father seems kind of distant, invisible. We can't relate to that. But if you really know Jesus, you know the Father. You already know him. It's not different. They're one. So that's good news for us. But here's the problem. We still have poor prayer lives because we have a poor relationship with our Heavenly Father. You know, I said earlier, Jesus had a great prayer life because he had a great relationship with his Father. We tend to have poor prayer lives because we have poor relationship with our Heavenly Father. I think we need to own that. Amen? No amens on that one. Everybody had a poor prayer life? Yeah! Woo! Man, it stinks. It's poor. It's bad. Whoa! Let's hear it for bad prayer lives. Yeah. Anyway, hang with me here. Here's what's happened to us. We have trouble relating to our Heavenly Father largely because, like I said earlier in my little story, something bad happens to you. That colors on earth. That colors your view. Because what we tend to say is, well, if God would allow that to happen to me, then he must not love me. He must not care about me. He must not be a good father after all if he would allow this suffering to touch my life, if he'd allow this person to die, or whatever type of thing you've experienced. So our earthly experiences in that way color our vision of who he is. Also, our earthly fathers, all of them being imperfect, we base our understanding of who our Heavenly Father is based on our earthly father. Whether you like it or not, there's a lot of truth in that. That's the experience we've had. That's what we know. So we wear, and I'm going to actually wear them here just to make this clear. We wear like sunglasses that are coloring our view of who the Father is. I can't hardly see with these things on. Are you still out there? Okay. I can't see the Father clearly and accurately. Because I'm allowing my earthly experiences to color my view. Yes. Whether it's something my earthly father did or didn't do, some way he didn't measure up to perfection, or whether it's something not even related to my dad, but something bad that happened in my life that colors my view of, you know, if God was really loving, why would he allow this type of thing? I don't think I can wear these the whole time because I can't see my notes or anything. Anyway, our earthly experiences have colored our view of our Heavenly Father. So what we want to do this morning, we want to take off the glasses. That's what I want. I believe the Father wants. I'll say it that way. He wants us to take the glasses off this morning. And that's maybe something that he has to do in your heart this morning. As we're talking through these things, that's my prayer, is that the Father would help those glasses come off, help you to see who he really is. Because if you really see who he really is, you can't help but love him. You can't help but want to be with him and pray to him and spend time with him because he's so awesome. But we, even if we know that in our minds, sometimes it doesn't work for us because we're so bound up by these things. So we want these to come off today. That's something I believe God wants to do for us. So what we're really doing this morning is going to compare the perfect with the imperfect, or the heavenly with the earthly. Remember the wording of the first words of the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven." That shows you right there that we're talking about someone different than the one that was on earth. Let's not miss the obviousness of that. Okay, my Father on earth was like this. What I'm praying to my Father in heaven, that's a different one. Everything on earth is imperfect, in case you didn't notice. Everything in heaven is perfect. Our Father in heaven, automatically, that means he's a perfect Father. And it's not my intention to, like, have you guys think about all your earthly father's faults this morning and start getting all this bitterness churning up, anger, unforgiveness, you know, get the report card out, fail, 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 fail. Because, listen, I got one of my sons here listening to me right now, so I don't want him to have the mental, you know, failure card going on. We could all do that, couldn't we? None of our dads were perfect. Even if you had a good father on earth, it wasn't perfect. No one is perfect but God alone. And so our intention this morning is not to focus on trashing our earthly fathers. I do pray, though, and I think God may do this for you, he may bring something to your memory this morning. Something to your memory that happened in your life. Maybe you totally even forgot about it. Maybe childhood memories years ago. I believe he's going to bring something to your memory, and it might not be positive. Yeah. It might not be pleasant. This is kind of sensitive territory for a lot of people that we're treading in. And but I want to welcome you, Holy Spirit, right now to bring up only the memories that you choose to bring up that you're going to heal today. In regards to our earthly fathers. That's why he does that. That's why the Holy Spirit might possibly bring something up in your mind, is not so that you can be all traumatized all over again, but so that you can be healed of that. And I believe he wants to do that this morning. So what we're going to do, like I said earlier, this series is about the Lord's Prayer, and every week we're going to look at a different part of the Lord's Prayer. But this morning, I just want to take a real quick overview of the prayer, just a quick one, because each phrase in here tells us something about our Father. So we're going to look at the prayer through the eyes of, or through the lens of, this is a prayer to our Father, just from that emphasis. So as we start off, we've already said the first words, "Our Father, who art in heaven." And if we want to know what our Heavenly Father is like, number one, he's interested in us. How do I know that? There wouldn't be a Lord's Prayer that started out "Our Father" if he wasn't interested in hearing our prayers, if he wasn't interested in hearing the voices of his children calling to him. His interest, is given. It's a given. He is interested. That's why there's a Lord's Prayer. That starts "Our Father." That's why Jesus taught us to pray. If the disciples said, "Jesus, teach us how to pray," and Jesus knew the Father wasn't interested in hearing from the kids, he'd say, "Don't bother. Don't bother. He doesn't want to hear from you guys. He's too busy." He would have told us that. What he said is, "Here's what the Father." Remember, everything Jesus said was from the Father. "Here's what the Father wants you to pray. He wants you to call him Father. He wants to hear you." So get that right off the beginning. Some of you maybe were neglected by a father. Maybe your dad was a workaholic. He was always busy and never had time for you. Maybe he was just kind of emotionally cold or distant, wasn't really interested warming up to you, interested in what you had to say or what you were doing. Maybe your father wasn't there at all. Your prayer life could be getting hung up right here. And I want you to know your Heavenly Father is interested in you. He wants to hear from you. Okay? So that's the first one. Then as we move on to our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. I'm going to call this, he's honorable. We saw a great video this morning about honoring those who have gone on in the war before us and lost their lives and things like that. And isn't there something in us that just loves to look up to somebody? Yes. Look up to a soldier. And if our dad was a soldier, like I'm proud that my dad was a World War II vet. I'm proud of that. And there's something in us that wants to look up to our dad and say, that's my dad. You know, there's something, you want your dad to be honorable. Yes. Worthy of respect. And, you know, some of you may have a hard time right here with the Lord's Prayer. When we say, hallowed be thy name, that's what we're saying. You're special. You're our hero. You're awesome. You deserve to be honored. You're worthy of all praise. And if your father was not an honorable man and was not worthy, a dishonorable man, so to speak, you might be getting hung up with something right there in your prayer life. But our Heavenly Father is perfect, and he is that knight in shining armor. He is that hero, that war hero, that is worthy of our respect. The next part, as we go to your kingdom come and your will be done, I'm going to call this gentle, because those are really strong words, in case you never noticed. Your kingdom come, that means you get to rule as a king over me. I bow down to your kingship. You know, your will be done. I bow my will to your will. Now, if you had anything at all that was abusive from your father, if he was that hard on you, if he was a heavy-handed person, you know, if he ruled with an iron fist, if it was his way or the highway, you know, if his authority was just too strong, not handled well, whether it was physical abuse, verbal, sexual abuse, anything like that, this would be a hard thing to really say from your heart. Okay, have your will, have your way. Because we don't know if we can trust anybody to have their way with us. But when you have a perfect father whose intentions towards you are always healthy and always good, it's much easier to say, I trust you, what you want to do. Jesus had that moment, didn't he, in Gethsemane? When he really was face to face with, this is really going to hurt. Getting the nails pounded in, getting the crown of thorns, getting the whipping, bearing the sins of the world in my heart. This is going to be really hard. And he was sweating, it says, like drops of blood. And he said, Father, if it's possible, take this from me. But not my will, your will be done. He was able to say that because he trusted the Father so much. He knew the Father's intentions were good, even though the Father was calling him to go through something very hard. He totally surrendered to it because he knew the Father was good. How many of us can do that? How many of us can really willingly surrender to the Father? I'm still scared sometimes to really surrender to the Father because I don't know what he's going to have me do. I don't know what he's going to ask of me. I don't know what he's going to demand of me. And it wasn't because my earthly father was heavy-handed. He was a very, very gentle earthly father, but I guess it's just maybe natural for all of us to want to hang on to our own will a little bit, a little bit of control. But our Father is gentle. Our Heavenly Father is gentle. He wears his authority very lightly. He doesn't force and coerce and heavy. He's not a heavy-handed type of father. So you need to deal with that in order to move on in your prayer life with him, trusting him. Trusting him, he's good. He won't abuse. The next one, give us today our daily bread. I'm going to call this faithful. You know, when my wife and I, a few years ago, we took some classes because we were considering becoming foster parents. One of the things that still to this day rings in my heart is that one of the things they taught us was that even after coming out of foster care and establishing themselves in a good home, a foster child may still be likely to hoard food, steal food out of your cupboards, hide it under their bed or whatever. And it's because they have had a past where they weren't sure where their next meal was coming from. They had to look out for themselves because they didn't know if they could trust their father to look out for them. And some of you need to hear this, not that you were necessarily, you know, an orphan or a foster child, but there's what they call an orphan spirit that is like not trusting our Heavenly Father really to provide for us, to take care of all our needs. So we hoard stuff for ourselves. I don't think God wants my best. So I'm going to just hang on to this, you know. I'm just going to grab this for myself because I don't know if he'd let me have it. If I asked him, he probably wouldn't let me have it. So I'm just going to take this. So looking out for yourself, that may have resulted from a father who wasn't faithful to provide for you, or may have resulted from something else. But we got to get rid of that. We got to be able to say, give us this day our daily bread. It's not hoarding anything for the future because we don't know what's going to happen. It's every single day, today, Lord, what I need today. We'll trust you for tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay, I'm on tomorrow now. I'm going to trust you today again. Just one step at a time. I'm not hoarding things. I'm not mistrusting how you're going to handle me in the future. You don't have to be afraid of the future. He's faithful. He will take care of us every day. Give us all our needs. The next part, forgive us our debts. I'm going to just call this forgiving. I got to tell you a quick story from one of my kids. I won't tell you which one it was. But one of my kids, one day, I thought I smelled chocolate on their breath. Right? Not an uncommon experience, but that particular day, it's like, where did they get chocolate from? I'm thinking. And I said, it smells like chocolate in here. Tried to be nice about it, you know. Did you take some of that chocolate from there? No. Sure. Okay. And I tried to move on and change the subject, but it kept lingering. Maybe it was the smell in the air. I don't know. Something in my spirit kept lingering, and I was like, you know, just so you know, for future reference or whatever, I'm not asking you to confess something just so that I can discipline you for it, you know? I'm asking you to confess something because it hurts your heart to carry that around, you know? You know how it's kind of like when you have to go to the bathroom and you start acting weird? When you're carrying a sin around in your heart, start acting weird. You know, you get around a pastor. I know if you can relate to this, right? Oh, pastor. Oh, hi. You know, how? Yeah. We get this all the time. Oh, yeah. When's your services? I'm planning on coming this Sunday. Yeah. You know. They start acting, it happens all the time. People are acting weird because they feel convicted. Anyway, I told my son that, you know, I don't want you to carry that around, you know, because that kind of just is, that's hard on you, you know. And sure enough, a couple minutes later, I did take it. Thank you for telling me the truth. Does that feel better now? Yeah. Okay, now we can discipline you. just to seal that memory, you know, that I shouldn't do that again. Anyway, we have a Heavenly Father. So often we go to prayer and we don't want to confess. I mean, it's easy to say the phrase, forgive us our debts. That doesn't really mean much to us. But we don't really want to talk to Him about our sins, like in details. We don't want to really bring that out in the light around Him. We want to act all holy and religious. That's one of the reasons people act religious, because they're hiding the sins inside, you know. Oh, yes, almighty heavenly Father of wonderment and whatever. You know, I'm trying to think of some great religious words right now to say this awesome, pompous prayer. It's like they don't want to just say, be merciful to me, a sinner, you know. When you do that, he asks you, the Father wants us to confess to Him because He wants our hearts clear. Because He doesn't want us to carry that around. Remember how He handled it in Genesis when they first fell. And they had been walking with Him and enjoying time in the garden with Him, just hanging out with Dad, so to speak. And as soon as sin entered the picture, they were ashamed, they were afraid, they hid. And does he come in and say, I'm going to get you for what you did? He comes in and he says, where are you? He knows everything. He knows where they are. He knows all your sins already before you confess them. Just like I knew that one of my sons had taken the chocolate. I didn't love him any less for taking the chocolate. I mean, I can totally understand why he wanted to eat the chocolate. It's good. My concern was that he didn't let that block his relationship with me. I was wide open to him still, but I could tell he was pulling away already because he felt bad about it. We don't want that wall. The Father doesn't want that wall with you. So there they are hiding. They won't come to Him. He finds them. He doesn't condemn them. He says, you know, what have you done? He asks some questions. He talks about it. And it's a sad, sad story, but that's what we do. We hide from God. We hide our hearts, and it blocks our relationship. The Bible teaches that it separates us from God. So that's why He wants us to confess, so that we're not separated from Him anymore. It's not because He's just waiting with the belt. You know, some of you guys have had a heavy-handed father, and no way would you confess anything. So I pray that you guys can get over that and realize that your Heavenly Father isn't like that. He's very forgiving. Now, it's interesting, as you head into the next phrase, as we have forgiven our debtors, I want you to notice this. He doesn't make any conditions on our forgiveness. He doesn't say, well, depending on how severe the sin was, I'll consider forgiving you. And He doesn't say, oh, I'm in a pretty nice mood today. I guess I'll let you go with that one. He doesn't weigh it like that. He says, He just wants you to confess so that you can be forgiven. The only condition there is, it's like unconditional forgiveness. No matter what you've done, the only condition is as you have forgiven others. Isn't that powerful? So today I also want to challenge you. Some of you guys need to forgive your earthly father. That's going to be a block to you receiving forgiveness from your Heavenly Father, which is going to block you from being in close relationship with your Heavenly Father, which is going to block you from being able to pray and have a good relationship, a good prayer life. So you got to back up and see, there's some unforgiveness here. I need to let this go. And I want it to be clear to us that you're not waiting for an apology from your earthly father. That's never going to happen. Amen. Well, maybe in some cases, be great if it happened. But that's not what you're waiting for to extend forgiveness to your earthly father. You're not waiting for an apology. You're not waiting for them to make it right. They don't owe you anything. You need to hear that one again. They don't owe you anything. You have to say that. Because as long as you say, my dad owes me, that is a chain that connects you to them, and they're going to drag you around the rest of your life. You owe me, you owe me, you owe me, you owe me. They don't even know you're dragging behind them. Meanwhile, you're all bloody, dragging on the ground.
I told you, you owed me.
You're all chained up. You can't do anything. You got to set yourself free by saying, let it go, you know? You got to get frozen. Let it go. They still have the power to hurt you because you're looking for something from them. Let them go so they can go hurt somebody else or whatever they're going to do. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're not going to follow that anymore. So you need to forgive so that you can be forgiven, so that you can be close to the forgiving Heavenly Father and have a good prayer life. That is a serious issue for some. You don't have to feel it emotionally, by the way, either. Some people feel like, when I really feel in my heart that I'm ready to forgive, you don't wait for that. You just say, okay, I'm going to forgive him. I'm not ready to. I don't feel anything. I'm just going to start doing it right now anyways. I forgive you. Okay, I forgive you. I didn't feel it. I'm not feeling it. I forgive you. Like, make yourself say it, you know? Until eventually maybe you will feel it. But the feeling is not the important part. Doing it is the important part. Anyway, the next part. Lead us not into temptation. I called this wise. I don't know if you had a father who was the kind of father where you'd be like, Dad will know what to do. If you had a kind of dad that just knew the answers. He was always there. You trusted him, someone you could go to for advice or whatever. That's great. But a lot of people didn't have fathers that they could trust for advice. They had rather bad leadership from their father. I'm not going to go what he would say. Maybe I could model my life after the opposite of what my father would do. You know, some people have an issue with this. When we say to God, as our Father, lead us not into temptation. We're trusting His leadership. We're trusting His wisdom to take us in a good direction and not let us go into a bad direction. So some of us need to deal with that. If you had a father you couldn't trust for good advice, for good leadership, for a good example, for having wisdom and knowing what to do in all situations, then you need to get connected with a Heavenly Father who is wise and will lead you in the right way. And the next phrase, deliver us from the evil one, I'm just going to call this strong. And I just, for some reason, I told you earlier, God might bring to your memory a little thing that has happened in your life with your earthly father that's somehow holding you back from your heavenly father. I had this little memory come to me. I don't know how much it was affecting me, but I just thought I'd share it. I remember when I was a kid, we went on some kind of family trip. I think we were in Canada. My wife's from Canada now, but I didn't know that at the time. And because I was a kid and I wasn't married to her. But I was visiting her country when this happened. And at a motel or something, there's like the motel pool. And I remember I couldn't swim, but I kind of wanted to learn more about swimming. And they had a deep end, and I wanted to jump into the deep end. And I had my brother, one of my brothers, and my sister there, and they were swimmers. So It's like, okay, we made a deal. If I jump in, you guys can help me make sure I get back to the side, the pool side, okay, you know. But I want to start moving out, you know, in this direction. As long as you guys are there, I can do this. And I jumped in, and I'm flailing and taking in water and thinking I'm going to die, and no one's helping me. And eventually, they got me to the side, but it was, like, way too long. To this day, I don't really like swimming that much. I'm not sure if that affected me or what, but, you know, when I look back at that, how cool would it have been if my dad had seen that? I don't even know where he was. He was, I'm sure, somewhere nearby, but he wasn't, like, in the pool with us, I don't think. But wouldn't it be cool if he jumped in his clothes, save the day, Superman, like, that's my dad, he saved me. You know, everyone wants that kind of hero dad who is strong to save you. To me, deliver us from the evil one. That's the kind of dad we're praying to. You know, our superhero heavenly father. And, you know, maybe your earthly dad, you know, wasn't so much that way. But we have a heavenly father who is that way, who is strong to deliver us. It's neat because he's gentle, but he's strong. His embrace might be gentle, but there's such strength in his arms, you know you're safe. That's the kind of father we have. And as you go into the end of the prayer, it kind of, to me, repeats the issues of, you know, being honorable. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. It kind of repeats some of the issues there that we talked about. So I won't readdress that. But what I want us to do here, just as we prepare to close, you know, we need to, as we're building our house of prayer, we need to have that room where we feel safe with our dad, where we can tell him anything, where we know he loves us. You know, there's other rooms we're going to talk about, other aspects of prayer, but there's something about that, just knowing that your dad is there for you. That's very powerful. And it's a big draw in prayer. You know, you might not be so excited about, well, yeah, I get to go pray for my list of things I need to pray for. You know, you might not be excited about that. But you might be able to get excited about, yeah, I get to be with my dad, my perfect heavenly father. So what I want to pray for right now, I just felt, as Heidi kind of plays in the background here, I think this is what the Father wants to do. I think he wants to provide a moment for you where he can take the glasses off of your heart, where he can remove from you something that you mistakenly put on him that's not him. Something imperfect, something earthly, that you were viewing him that way, and you shouldn't be viewing him that way anymore. So I'm not going to individually pray for people, but I do want you to come forward as a way of saying, I want to be closer to my Heavenly Father. I want to know him more. I want to see him more clearly. I want to have a closer relationship with my Heavenly Father. I want these memories to be healed of my earthly father, or whatever, any kind of thing like that. I want you to come forward. I want us all to stand and just come forward as a way of saying, yes, I do want my Heavenly Father. Let's just take a moment to let him touch you and speak to you. He may be, like I said, through a memory or something, be wanting to bring some healing to your heart about who he is versus who your earthly father was. So we welcome you. Holy Spirit, come reveal the Heavenly Father's heart to each of us, Lord. Take off the blinders, Lord. Take off the lies. Take off the glasses that are coloring our vision of you. Help our hearts to really know your love for us, because that's going to be the best foundation for a life of prayer, is to know our Father loves us. So come reveal your Father love today. We know you want to, Lord. Come Come touch the hearts of your children today, Lord. Come heal the hearts. Come open our eyes to see you more clearly, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When he says, "The Lord, compassionate, gracious, abounding in love." Like, I almost hear, like, wow, I didn't know he was that good. I didn't know he was that gracious. I didn't know he was that compassionate. I didn't know he was that kind. I didn't know he was that gentle. I had this other impression of what he was going to be like, and wow, he's been doing that to me lately, where I've been just surprised by his kindness. Lord, do that for us.
Amen.
Let the lies fall to the ground. Let the truth of your goodness amaze us, Lord. May the truth of your gentleness, of your kindness, of your love for us, may it just blow us away, Lord. May it revolutionize our lives, Lord. May we not be a people who praise because we think we have to pray in order to earn your love. May we be a people who pray because we know you love us and we want to be with you. And we want to be close to you, close to that loving Father. Continue your good work you've begun here today, Lord. I believe you've been already touching some hearts and maybe stirring some things up. Lord, continue that. Continue that, Lord, during the week and the weeks to come, Lord. Continue to cause us to build on a firm foundation of your love for us, and anything that's in the way of that, Lord, may it fall. May any myths be dispelled. May any lies be broken. May our hearts truly be free. May our hearts be healed up from the past, from the imperfect examples. May we be able to let go and forgive those things, and may our hearts and our eyes be lifted up to a perfect Heavenly Father. Do a good work in us, Lord, in that regard. We believe it'll change everything. It'll change everything if we just know the Father loves us. That changes everything. That'll be a strength to us. That'll be a motivation to us. That'll be the world to us if we just know our Father loves us. So reveal your love, Lord, to each and every heart here today, and help us be the kind of people that Jesus was when he was trying to reveal your heart everywhere he went. Help us be those kind of people and represent you well, Father. Jesus' name.
Amen.
If you want to stick around for prayer, there'll be some people up here to continue praying with you. Also, don't forget, JL's in the back to talk to you about her opportunity to go forward into Israel. And have a great week. May you live in the Father's love.